to make ready, Father. The bride has made herself ready. So we pray that you would just help us, Father, with these portion of the words that we'll be reading today and we'll be teaching and expounding, Father, that it would prepare our hearts, Father, for worship and then for the preaching of the word later this morning. We ask these things in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see if this thing connects right in. Two. Wonderful. So this morning we're going to be talking about seed life. You know, the life that's in the seed, how the word is a seed, and typifying the plant life, the botanical life, the different sources of life and plant types of lives, and how God set it all from the beginning. So, you know, and the question I want to ask ourselves is, why seed? Why did life have to come by way of seed? You know, in the plant life we see, and animal, human, God's word. Just think about that. You know, ask yourselves, you know, why didn't it come in another way? You have rocks. We have other forms of life. You have different things that didn't come by the way of seed in the creation. But if you really group what really did come by seed, it just really puts it into perspective. You know, why did it have to come by seed? You know, why did humans have to come and reproduce by seed? Why seed? You know, so again, the topic being seed life. So in my study, I found these types of seed. There's another one I'll touch upon here throughout. But most basic form, and even how the Bible starts, it starts off with plants. It starts off with botanical life. You know, it says let the earth yield grass and trees. So we have plant life. They have the seed of plant life. And I think it's so beautiful how it says that whose seed is in itself. And it's a reproduction. And it's the original life. And then you have animal life. Then we have human life. And then you have the seed of God, Christ, the Word. But then there's the seed of discrepancy. Brother Branham also toned it the seed of the serpent. So see, follow the seed line. And it's just amazing to see as we read the scriptures. Just put that into perspective. Sometimes we're talking about these different forms of seed. And it's just amazing how life had to come by a little tiny little thing, by seed. And I'll do a little type and a little contrast right now with something that the closest thing man has been able to come up with, and that is like a microchip, right? Something that is, it's got artificial life, or not life, intelligence. Something that's got function, if you will, and that we use. It was man-made. And it can accomplish a lot, and they can make them real small. But see, it falls short from the real life, from the original life. Anything, of course, that we create. And of course, there's also where you take a seed or a plant life and you modify or you pervert it or you genetically engineer it, and how it comes with limitations, how it stops, and it might not reproduce itself after the second, and so forth. So let's look about the seed. Let's talk about how precious it is that God decided to reproduce plant, animal, humans, and even the enemy, right, tries to copy that, and then himself, God, through a seed in type. So living things, I wanted to put a kid's dictionary definition for just life or living things. So keep it real simple, is living things are, I remember helping my daughter in about 2 years ago in a school project, and she was trying to define what living things were. And we came up with a simple thing, was just things that, and the word reproduce is big on that, but things that, it's organisms that can grow. So like a rock, right, cannot grow itself, move, breathe, or take in nutrients and reproduce themselves. So I like it. I think it's simple, right? It's something that's got to have a little bit of movement. It's got to have grow. And it's got to be able to change shape and form. And it's got to be able to reproduce. But it's got to have these different factors at the same time. Right? So I put a depiction here so you can just be clear in our mind. You have the plant, right? That all grass, all everything, it comes from a seed. Everything we see, all the beautiful landscapes, you know, housed in a mountain, in a valley, flowers. God chose to come in the form of a seed. Then we have, you know, animal life, right? And it reproduces after its own kind. Then we have human life depicted here by a mother holding a baby, right? But then we have, you know, a new birth by the individual, and depicted here by somebody reading their Bible, receiving the life of Christ. And then we have, you know, believers sharing and bringing forth the word in other believers, right? Of course, God doing the work. So I just think that's really what God had an interest in the seed. When you read the Bible, I was astonished. There was like 257 just hits just for the word seed. That's not looking into other words like offsprings or heirs and other words that mean the same thing. And I was just amazed when I was reading how much care God takes to protect the seed and the seed line. And sometimes people were called seed themselves. And it says, and then it brought forth seed, meaning even though it was already born, but they still call them seed. So I just think it's beautiful how God chose to bring forth life through seed on the plants, on the animals, on humans, on a Christian, a believer. And again, the enemy wants to copy that by the seed of discrepancy and the seed of serpent seed. So just taking a step back here, we have Genesis 1:11, the first time the word seed I found. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. So that was the miracle of reproduction, right? That it just wouldn't stop there. It's that same seed that once was could have procreated all the orange trees we know. And to me, that's powerful. It's to have that kind of a adaptive life source where housed in a little pocket, in a little bag of a seed, that it's lays there and it's able to bring out everything that was in it. And then whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And God blessed them, so this is now the man, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And this is a commandment that was given. This is before the incident had happened, and replenish the earth. And it says to subdue it right over the fish of the animals of the earth and all that. And then once it starts getting interesting is when he says in Genesis 3:15, it says, And I, God, will put enmity between thee, talking to the serpent, that's the serpent, thee, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And I'll show an example here, of course. It's depicted as her seed because it was talking about the woman, but we know is the seed of human. And it says, and later on we know that Brother Branham says that seed was Christ, right? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So just to depict here how even though it talked about the woman seed, in this place and another place I found that it called it the woman conceived the seed. But we know, of course, the seed comes from the male. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed. See, so it's saying her seed because it was the seed that was in her at the time. And born a man child, you know, and then it goes on to say that it would be unclean for 7 days and so forth. Days of separations in the law. So, and then there's another place where it kept on calling it the woman seed. But as we know, everywhere else in the Bible, it talks about the man having the seed. And here we find in Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, the woman, hath appointed me another seed, see, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And this is where, if you know, the distinction between the seeds started to be made known. Appointed me another seed. And then it says in Genesis 7:3, of fowls also of the air by sevens. So this is a time of Noah, and the male and the female to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. So God was very careful to keep all the seed alive in the flood, right? Humanly speaking, the animals, and of course we know the plant life was able to sustain itself. And in here, this is an example where a promise being made for seed for Noah and then also for Abraham in the same page here. So God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And to Abraham said, and behold, to me thou hast given no seed, he said. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So it's just amazing how The seed. The Bible talks so much about the seed. Genesis 16 says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply the seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for the multitudes." We know that promise was also made to Abraham. And in Exodus, we find where it says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." So in the Bible, it speaks a lot about seed. It speaks a lot about different plants of seed. And I didn't have time to look into all the details of that. But I just know that manna itself, right, the type of the word is also here being it's being typified as a seed, as a coriander seed. So let's look at this illustration here. So you'll see on the picture, there's a seed, and then there's like a small tree or a seedling. This is a quote from Brother Branham where it says, "Let us see God." And the word is like a seed. That was from Luke. And then skipping, he says, "Did you know that every orange that will ever be in that tree is in it when it's just about 1 inch tall? Did you know that? Sure it is. Where? It comes from the seed." See? Now, the only thing it is just planted out, set out. And then the same message in the next verse, it says, the next quote, it says, it sucks water from the earth and gets nourishment. And when it drinks in water, it pushes out limbs, drinks in more water, pushes out leaves, drinks in more water, pushes out blossom, drinks in more water, pushes out oranges. It just keeps drinking and pushing out, and it has to drink. Just reminds me so much, right, to encourage us, right, that once you've been born of God, right, you just have to be drinking of His life, partaking, you know, being washed by the water of the Word, just continue to draw nutrients and nourishment. Or like the sheep, right, where it doesn't have to worry about reproducing wool. You just have to, you know, walk this life, be connected to Him, just keep on drinking and pushing out. I just think it's beautiful that in here it says that all the many bushels of oranges that were ever going to be was at one time in something the size of a seed. Right. And to me, it's just the mystery that all life as we know it has come with something that it's a seed in those forms of organisms we spoke about. In Psalm 37, it says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints." That's a seed. "They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." I was doing a little study to find out, like, if you put seed and if you bury it and if it does not bring forth, that if it, and for the most part, they don't necessarily rotten, is what I read, they can actually just remain there. And then, you know, they can bring forth life in the future. That, to me, that was an encouragement to know that, you know, with situations with wayward ones, with loved ones, it's just to be patient, right? And God's word will do the work, right? It's like somebody said, you know, you don't just plant a seed and then bury it back up to see if it's coming alive. You just got to commit it. Because if it's not coming in this season, it might come in the very next one. That's right. Amen? And God's word said so. He said, "Let there be light," as we heard Brother Branham in the message this morning. He spoke these things into existence. I remember a brother, retirement age, and he had in Arizona, you know, it's hard to grow anything in Arizona, but he had the most luscious 2 acres I've ever seen in Arizona, ever. They're full of green grass, all kinds of trees, and then he pointed out to the tree, and he says, you know, that's the word of God manifested it there. He said, you know, God spoke. He said, whatever it's that verse, he says, let its seed be in itself. God's word, original seed, he said, that he literally... That's God's spoken word right there manifested. Right. Yeah. And he just really spoke to me much, you know, because he had that conviction and that faith. How much more are we able to say about ourselves, right, once we've been, of course, we had the human life, but when we've been born by His Spirit, right? So I like this message quote, the great warrior 55, David. If you said to me, Brother Branham, give me an oak tree, it says, you're from down in southern Indiana where they have the big white oak and so forth. Give me an oak tree and I'll give you an acorn. Well, you've got an oak tree, potentially. It is in the seed form, but it's an oak tree. It's an oak tree. You've got it in an acorn. When we take God's word, we got it in seed form. When we can accept divine healing by God's word, that settles it. Amen? It will grow. May we have patience for that, right, brothers? Sometimes that's where we test it a lot, because we've been healed. We experience healing, but sometimes there's that one thing that just bothers you throughout life. And you see healing touch and all that, but it settles it. Once it will grow. It will grow. It will manifest. You know, and we know that there's miracles, and sometimes there's the process of healing. Those are the ones that I think require the most faith. But that settles it somewhere deep in the same sentence. The next sentence, it says, take the old acorn and bury it in the ground and stand off there and watch her for a little while and see what takes place. Your oak tree comes right up on it. Comes right up with it. It says, because the life is in the seed. And God's word is a seed, and it's alive. See, to me it's a mystery how much life can be compacted in that small little orange seed. If you can just simply receive it, take it out of the Bible, and said, it means me. By his stripes I am healed. Right? Amen. Then you got something. See, substance faith? That's right. All the demons could not stop you from it. No matter what anybody would say, you wouldn't believe it because you know where you're standing. Isn't that amazing when you have that true faith, that conviction? So every time we hit God's word, let's go to planning, you know. We hear something, you say it's me, plant it in that heart. Meditate on it, pray on it. You know, take time outside to yourself and have faith that it will grow and it will manifest. It is God's word. Amen. Have faith, you know, in the life, in the seed life. In Psalms 126, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Right. I always wonder that, you know, why would a sower be out there crying and sowing? And one time, this word came alive to me. At the time when my father-in-law was in the process of communicating with me and giving her daughter into marriage. And it just opened up to me. You know, there's certain things that you have to plant in your lives that are harder than others. You know, if you just got a little bit of seed from your neighbor and you're just throwing it out, you're not going to be crying. But if you have something that means is near and dear to you, that means a lot to you, it's different. I saw this. So it says, they that sow in tears, you know, shall reap in joy. But it doesn't mean they're not going to sow in tears. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, something that's really precious to you, mm-hmm. shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Right. That's right. And one time I had a photo with my wife and I in Arizona. I went to an apple orchard. And I had my wife when she was running with the daughter and with the son and just running. And I took a photo and I put the scripture and I sent it to my father-in-law and said, see, now that's not where you get the rejoicing part. Right. Now that's the sheaves part, you know, when you had to go through all the decision making and the process of believing God for what he was planning, you know, what he was surrendering and committing to the ground to, you know, bring forth more to giving up. And that's just a type now, but I think about it in your life. Think about why would you go sowing seed, crying, or weeping? So there are certain things that we do got to, we know that later on we'll find out where it says, unless a seed is planted and dies, it remains alone.
Right.
But once it sprouts out, it brings life. Amen. So just think that in your life, you know, there are certain things we know that we have to sacrifice, that we have to surrender, that we have to give up, right? And at that time, you know, there's tears, there's weep. But just know that if it's you're doing it in good faith, you know, God will honor your faith. In Isaiah 65, it says, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord. See? And their offspring with them. So just, again, sowing and sowing seed and knowing that it won't be in vain. And that the work of the Lord, all that you do, does not return back to Him void. It accomplishes what He sent out to do. Acts 13:23, of this man's seed hath God according to His promise raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. See, this is Paul when he was speaking about David. And, you know, if you don't think that seed matters and all that, just think of genealogy. I mean, I just read in Matthew where it says that from Abraham to David, it was 14 generations. And from David to Christ, it says 14 generations. Just how precise. Yeah, I was looking at some of the pilgrim voyage of William Bradford and of Plymouth Foundation and some of that. And just seeing how some of the people that were dropped into the water and were able to get saved and all that. And I'm just thinking how they became like George Washington's, you know, they were basically George Washington's father, you know, grandfather or such. And so many others that have, you know, done something in life. And just to think how God had to watch your seed line, your in the natural, right? And then in the spiritual as well. But just knowing how God preserves the seed. And you can't but help to know that it was, of course, it was God's purpose behind it. It was designed. Like, how can you have 14 generations from Abraham to David and promising to David, oh, your seed, and then all the way to David, and then your seed, the root of David, the root of Jesse, you know, and so forth. And then how precise, 14. So genealogy, you see that all played out through. In Acts 17, it says, for in him we live, we move. Remember, one of the definitions of being alive was something that has, it's an organism that that grows, that moves, that breathes, everything that has breath, praise the Lord, and that can reproduce. Amen? So a rock is not an example of that. A plant, animal, humans are Christians, and so forth. For in him we live. So we're a living thing. We move, and we have our being. Like, we sustain our being in him. As certain also of your own poet has said, for we are also his offspring. It's just amazing to know that you're God's direct offspring once you're born again. Amen. Born of his spirit. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed. So notice there's no S in there. Were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds, with an S, meaning multiple, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to Abraham, how amazing it is that he was promised that Christ will be brought about from his seed. And, you know, it's amazing. It makes you wonder, you know, the miracle that happened when he was able to give him the promise when he couldn't have seed. And they were both, I read, fertile. I mean, infertile. Both of them were. Yeah, I read it in the Bible this last night. So, naturally speaking, it was impossible. So this is some supernatural miracle seed in the natural and in the spiritual, in this case. Galatians 3:29, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And you know, to me, that's a powerful verse because a lot of times we read, you know, in the Old Testament, Abraham and to his seed and to his seed and to his seed. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like, well, we're not Jew, right? But here it is. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. With no S, and heirs, that's seed too, according to the promise. So that promise was very supernatural. It was God's own word. And again, you know, being born again, it's a Bible term. 1 Peter 1:23. I know it gets preached a lot because that's what the basis of our faith is. But it's being born again, it says right here, word for word. Not of corruptible seed. Not of the seed of discrepancy, not of the serpent seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God shows it this way. He's typifying, just look at a plant. Just have patience, you know. There's a birth, seedling, germination, right? Seedling, then it comes forth. You know, take heed what you plant. My father planted a tree. And it was kind of very small. I said, you should have just gone with the original seed, you know, with like just go buy it. One organic orange instead of, he planted an orange tree, instead of, you know, the one you bought at the Walmart and then you planted it. So he didn't listen, so he planted it. This is like 20 years ago, more. So he planted it, and here he is. He has it. Every 2-3 years, it gets some kind of sour, something lemon, orange. He knows what it is. I know a lot of types of oranges, but this is like, I don't even know what it is. I mean, I know the lemon, orange, the lemon, limes, and all kinds of things. This is like this. It's not even what you call ornamental orange. I'm talking about. And sometimes, like, you squeeze the thing and no juice comes out. And so the only thing that's good for right now is shade. I'll give it that. I mean, my mom washes her clothes outside, kind of old style with the washer. And they love it because of the shade. But here we are 20, 30 years later. And just, you know, it's only going to do what was in that seed.
Right.
So especially things that are long standing in your life, let's plant the good, you know, the good principle. Being born again of the seed incorruptible. So Genesis 22, we'll wrap it up here. That in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. So seed of the promises, many promises. Again, born again here. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That means you don't have that unbelieving nature. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot doubt as a day in, day out, from the inside of the soul out, because he is born of God. 1 John 3:9, that's an old word, the scripture. 1 John 3:9. And just here, I, Jesus, very clear, who's speaking in Revelations, have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. So he's the one that sent the angels to testify in the churches. I am the root, so first person speaking, and the offspring of David. You know, what was said in Matthew, that from the 14th generation. So that's the seed there. He said, I'm the seed of David and the bright and morning star. And we know, of course, there's the parable of the sower. We're not going to get into it, but it says the seed is the word of God. Right?
Amen.
That's the parable. In Romans 8:17, just a few more scriptures. And if children, then heirs, that's seed, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be, that we may be also glorified together. Again, so that's our promise. And then, think two more scriptures. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Man, it's transformed, right? It's transformed from that seed life, and it manifests what was in it. And it goes forth, and it has it's alive. It can reproduce, it can move, it can grow. And it just means amazing that it can result back in the original life. I think this is the last quote that we have. The spoken word is the original seed. But oh God, where there's a germ of life, come from the real seed. That God proved it was his seed. He rose him up again, see? That through that life that's going over the original seed, like was given to Eve, over his real church is bringing forth life again through the birth, through the womb of his bride. See? Oh, it's rich and glorious. I give it a little time to study, and it'll sink in. He's that seed. He's that seed that was produced by the word of God. Be it unto me according to thy word. There's the seed. See? Taking the word. See? And it says, seed life. God bless you, brothers. Peace out.